Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday. Sorry, that was obnoxious. For Monday, September 15th, 2014. How's it going? How are you? What's up? My fucking house is hot as shit. Goddamn AC. I don't know what's going on with it. I really got to stop doing this. I got to stop trashing my house because someday, you know, maybe I'll sell it. You know, and no matter how many photos I put up that makes it look like it's all shiny and new, come aboard. We want to sell it to you. It's my shit home. They added the bottom floor in the 50s. My shit home. Are you into dry rot wood? Because that's what I have behind all the plaster you see. Sorry. No, we're actually turning the fucking corner. Downstairs, they've roughed it up, and they are ready to now put the final touches on a downstairs that should have been built like this to begin with. You know what my downstairs basically is? Because this originally was a one-floor house. It's like an expansion franchise. My downstairs when I bought this house, unbeknownst to me, was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 1977, okay? And Gary Huff, I think that's the name of the original Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback, of that team that went 0-14. He designed the downstairs, all right? He designed the fucking downstairs. So anyways, everything has been corrected. Everything has been aligned. Everything is square. Everything is true. Learning all these construction words. All right? That and, I don't know if you saw the last invoice, but we're still waiting for payment. That's another big construction term. You know what kills me? Those motherfuckers, they put a flat on my bicycle. It's not my bicycle. It's the one I bought for Nia, and she never used it. You know? So I actually ride it now. I ride it through the canyons. No, every once in a while I'll take it out for a spin. And I should have known because the front tire needed a little bit of air, but the back one was just done. And I pumped them back up and everything was good. I listened. I didn't hear any sound, so I thought it was fucking fine. And then I went down there and the thing's, you know, just one of the added costs. And I got to tell you, if I was a cunt, not saying I'm not, but if I was if I was trying to make all American – in the cunt category, I would actually take the whatever it's going to cost me to have somebody put a new fucking inner tube in it. If it was the front tire, I'd do it myself, but it's the back tire. And, you know, old Freckles doesn't have time for that shit. I could go on YouTube. Sure, I could do it. How to change back tire and move all of that shit out of the way. And I could get all fucking greasy and then have to go down to Home Depot and buy that fucking that salve that cuts through the grease. And I'd be down there for 9 hours, you know, and afterwards, yeah, I'd feel like a man, you know. Or I could just drop it off and have somebody fucking do it. And I could sit here and eat a pizza. No, not a pizza. Not a pizza. I got to have a salad. I got to turn this shit around. A couple weeks ago, I don't know what happened, like 2.5 weeks ago, I had whatever the meal was that sent me back down the road eating bad. I've been eating bad for 2 weeks. And the other day I walked by the mirror and I knew I'd put on a few. And I just was so fucking disgusted with myself. You know, and fuck all you assholes out there that say that fat shaming doesn't work. You know, it doesn't work. It's what it really is no, you're fat and you don't want to hear it. That's what it is. Whenever I say shit about fat people, it's not in a negative way. All right? I'm trying to motivate you. It's how I motivate myself. I walk by the mirror and I look at myself and I go, oh, you fucking piece of shit. Really? All that fucking work we did? All those months of work? All those pull-ups? All those push-ups? All those fucking hikes? And what did you do? What did you do? You gave it all away in a week! That's what kills me about when you're at my age, is I can negate 3 months of being at the gym in four meals. Not four meals, but like in a week. In a week of just being an asshole. Everything that I gained, I can just fucking lose. It's the absolute worst. So then, if you don't know how to diet, What you do is then you start lifting weights and that type of shit, and you keep eating bad, and all you're doing is you're putting these pecs and biceps on top of the big belly, right? Roll out the barrel, we'll have a barrel of fun, right? And you just become that guy. That guy who just keeps lifting weights and keeps eating shit food, and all you're trying to do is keep your man pecs just a little bit out in front of your fucking stomach. And then what do? You start pushing down the fucking pants. Your belt line's fucking digging into your pubes. So, dude, I'm still a fucking 32-inch waist. Same jean size I had in high school. And you just keep pushing it down and pushing till the point it looks like somebody yanked your belt and all the fat went boing up to, yeah, literally, boing, just like that. It was a bad sound effect. But you know what I'm saying? All the way up into your gut, and then it ran into your fucking man pecs. That held it down, and it's just fucking sitting there. Caught between a rock and a hard place. That'd be your pecs and your dick there. Sorry. So I'm trying to avoid that. That's the hardest fucking thing, is to lose weight and not lose muscle. You know? And fuck all you guys who are going to come at me with your GNC chemicals. All right? And talking about protein the size of your hand. I've heard all of it. All right? But what are you supposed to do when that fucking redneck comes on TV and says, I got big news. They've now put bacon and fucking cheese in the crust. Whatever the fuck he said. I actually retweeted the quote. Why don't I look it up? This is how fucked up it is, right? And this guy's just sitting there. Hey, I got big news. I got big news, people. You know, people who maybe are in between jobs and can't afford quality food. And rather than encouraging you to go out and get an apple or a banana, you know what I'm going to say? Where the fuck is the thing? Got to find my tweet here. I got to find my fucking Twitter. Jesus, where the fuck is it? I apologize. You know, I have big news. Bacon and cheese have been stuffed into a crust. That's what this guy says as he sits in his fuck. Do you think that fucking cunt is eating, maybe he's eating a little bit of it. He is from the South, and I'll tell you, he don't know no better. I'll tell you what, the only thing better than that greasy Italian food is if you shove a little bacon and grease in the crust. There you go. Did you like that joke? I attacked two fucking people. Actually, I really was just making fun of Southerners, right? I don't know. Anyways. And he's just sitting there collecting the money, basically sitting in the guard tower as all of us fucking march in to fucking eat that poison. How do you do that in good conscience? How can you sit there as a country singer, all right, all about your family values and supporting the troops and denying global warming? How can you sit there, cross your fucking Wrangler jeans with your shit-kicking boots on, and say to America, I have big news. Bacon and cheese have been stuffed into a crust. You motherfucker. You know, it was stuffed into a duffel bag, a bunch of fucking cash for you to go out and buy some more Sco Bandit, right? And go get a replica of the fucking Dukes of Hazzard car while everybody else goes in and they add to their fucking man tits. How dare you? You already quit on your fucking music career the second you got in that Lazy Boy where you spin around and face the crowd. Then you come back around and tell somebody from a warehouse that they got a shot. Whatever that show is. I don't know. You know what's funny? It's back in the day, whenever you did shows like that, you never made it. Now people actually make it. You know, do you remember a long time ago on MTV, they had Making the Band? Nobody ever made it. Nobody ever fucking made it. That's why I never went on Last Comic Standing. I never went on that because that's all I thought about was MTV Making the Band. Everybody who went on Making the Band never made it. I was thinking, you know, Nirvana wasn't on Making the Band. They didn't do a show like that. Did Cinderella go on Making the Band? I don't think they did. You know who went on the band or who went on that fucking The Real World? Do they still do that show? We put seven fucking people in the house and we're going to show you what happens. I love how they like, that's a point of pride with MTV. This is where it all started. Oh, you mean that shit TV where you take regular people and exploit them and have them scream at each other? Oh, Bill, get off your fucking high horse. You watch it just like the rest of us. All right, you're right. You're right, I do. And then have I told you I started watching that fucking arm wrestling show? Battle of Arms or whatever it is. That's the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life. These guys are fucking out of their minds. Getting each other's faces right before they arm wrestle. What do you got? Screaming at each other. Fucking slamming the table around. I love that show. These fucking guys would rip your goddamn arm off. I don't know what their deal is. Some of them are actually like they can't help being like that. And then there's other ones that are fucking terrified. I don't know what it is. They had a bad father. And now they're going to try to become like as close as they can to a goddamn superhero. So they got to every pull up. They got to scream. Ah! Right. Shouting the fear out of them. Whatever. Good for them. You know. God bless him. In other words, I don't have anything else to say about that topic. So whenever I don't, I just go, hey, you know what? God bless him. God bless those sons of bitches. My arm's all swollen. I didn't know that that happened. That when you arm wrestled to that point, that one of your arms just blew up like a balloon. I remember back in the day when you were out in the backyard and a mosquito got on you. And if you flexed your muscle really quick, they couldn't release. And you'd blow them up with your own blood. Do you remember doing that shit? Well, I do. I remember because I came up before the internet. Why isn't my fucking AC cooling off this room? Can you hear it? Can you hear it humming in the background? Oh, it's trying. That AC's trying just like I'm trying right now. I'm trying to entertain you fucks for another goddamn hour on another fucking Monday, right? There it is, people. Congratulations, you lived another week starting all over again. What are you doing right now? Huh? You sitting in your fucking car? You in traffic? You're behind that douchebag who for some reason leaves 2.5 car lengths between him and the other car on a flat surface on a dry road for whatever reason he's doing that. And yet another person is cut into your lane. It's your lane. And you're sitting there gripping the steering wheel going, you know what? In a perfect fucking world, I would punch through his side window like the Terminator. I would pull him out by his fucking throat, lift him high into the air, choke the life, just almost to an inch of his life, leave him by the side of the road, and then get in his car. Am I the only one who thinks shit like that? I don't think I am. I think it's a very normal thought. Anyways, this is the Monday Morning Podcast, and it's football Sunday right now. It's actually 1:18. I just watched the New England Patriots. Somehow, after that first horrific drive, they finished off the Minnesota Vikings. I got to tell you, man, I love seeing the Vikings playing outside again. Reminded me of way back in the day with Fran Tarkington, Jim Marshall, Paul Krause, Chuck Foreman. Remember that? Alan Page, Carl Eller. You know, all these guys, as I'm saying them, I'm picturing football cards. Stu Voigt or some shit. Who's that fucking Ron Yari? Maybe he was in the 80s when they had Tony Kramer. Tommy Kramer. He played indoors. When I started watching football, the Vikings still played outside, I think, for like one or two seasons. It was the late 70s. I think it was just the last season. Or it might have been... I was just watching those NFL films all the time, so I think I remembered it. I have no idea. Oh, fuck. The Seahawks and Chargers are playing. Hang on. I got to hit pause. I got to record this game. Hold on. Okay, I'm back. Sorry, I had to make sure I recorded that game. I want to watch that game. You know, that's one of those games. I got to tell you, you know, it could go either way. The Seattle Seahawks have looked very impressive early this year in the National Football League season of 2014. But you got to remember, this is a division rivalry. Even though they're not in the same division, they've played each other for years. They know what each other does. It's really going to come down to who's going to strap it on. What did they mean by that? Strap it on. You got to strap it on, look that other guy in the eye, and you got to play some smash mouth football. That's what they need to do. The San Diego Chargers for years have been trying to get over the hump. They've created a culture where they get to the big game, but they just cannot seem to get to the big dance. Sorry. You know what's funny is I make fun of it, and the only way I know everything that they say is because I watch it all the time and I can't stop fucking watching it. I can't stop fucking watching it, you know? Anyways, plowing ahead here. Let's get back to the fucking, what did I want to talk about this week? Let's just get out of football because I know there's a lot of people that don't like football. Not that I give a fuck, but I don't want to bore you 100%. So, what are you doing this week? You know what I'm doing? Coming up on, scatterbrain, hit the brakes. I want to let you guys know on Twitter, I announced that my long awaited Carnegie Hall recording. I did a show there on November 11th, 2011, and the album is finally coming out. I did it on Third Man Records, Jack White's label in Nashville, Tennessee. And this was the thing, you know, I was doing a show at Carnegie Hall, and I was getting ready to do a special, videoing, shooting, whatever, a special at Carnegie Hall would have cost me $9 million. Why? Because they're Carnegie Hall, and they know everybody wants to record there. So they charge you 10 million times what the fuck they should be charging. So it's Carnegie Hall. I don't know if I'm ever going to be back. It's like, I got to record this. I got to document that I'm going to be there, right? So I did. They charged me 10, 15,000 times what the fuck they should have charged. But I didn't give a shit because it was Carnegie Hall. Lo and behold, they were right. So 3 months later, I recorded You People Are All the Same. And then about like a year later, I finally got the tapes. That's how slow things move. I could have got access into the White House quicker than I got the tapes from my show there. And it was one of the deals with just the overlap, because it was like 3-4 months between that recording and my next special, that it was basically, I don't know, 80, 85%, 75% the same shit. You know, I tell it differently every night, but it's the same shit. So I want to fucking put it out there that I've been there. I don't want to fuck people over by, you know, actually acting like this is new material. It isn't. It's just this performance of that material. So I decided that I was putting it out on vinyl only. And that way it's, you know, even though it's the same thing, it's like a different sort of, I don't know, I think albums are cool. And I know everybody for some reason equates them to hipsters, which I guess is fair. But to be honest with you guys, I'm 46 years old. I grew up when, you know, I remember when cassette tapes came out. You know, all of my shit when I first got it was on vinyl. I don't think it sounds better. I can't tell if it sounds better. I have no fucking idea. What I do like is I liked albums. At first, I liked the cassettes where it was all small and that type of shit. Oh, this is great. I can take it in the car and all that type of thing. And then after a while, I went back to the vinyl going, no, this is much fucking cooler. You get all these extra pictures. You know, it was a fucking event. I liked it. So whatever. So some people are giving me shit for doing it. I don't give a fuck. The fact that it's on vinyl, I just look at it as if you actually buy this fucking thing, you can't give me shit it's pretty much the same thing. It's just, I've told you from day one, okay? So I don't want to fucking hear it, even though I'm still going to hear it. And all you guys with your dumb jokes, oh, are you putting your next special out on Betamax? Snort, snort, laughing my ass off. I don't give a fuck. It's really cool. And so let me tell you a little bit about the album. If you look at the cover of the album, you'll see old Billy Redface standing on stage, grinning ear to ear, but there's not a soul in the place because we could not shoot during the show. Those were the rules. Union House, Carnegie Hall. Go fuck yourself with Carnegie Hall. So I had to take the photo then. All right? And my photographer was allowed to be, I don't know, there was a little hole in the wall. He was able to stick the camera through and take pictures. It was fucking insane. It was insane. And the name of the album is called Live at Andrew's House. And then that was just another thing where I wanted to say Live at Carnegie Hall, but that was going to be like, you know, it was just going to be another thing. But we have to get that approved. You know, oh, you got to approve that I was there. I paid the money to rent out the thing, you know. You saw the show. You didn't have a problem. Oh, we still have to send it up the flagpole, blah, 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 blah. And I just said, fuck it. I don't need to say that. I'll just say Live at Andrew's House. There you go. Andrew Carnegie. All right? There you go. So there you go. There's a little history there. Okay? Alrighty. Okay, so that's going to be available, I think, on September 30th. The pre-ordering is like, oh, Jesus, Bill, why don't you just get the fucking information before you start talking about it, you dumb fuck? Let me see here. Where is it? McGravy. Ledondo McGravy. No, he's not there. German cars are the best. German cars go to the next level. By the way, I'm back into that Mercedes-Benz, fucking station wagon. I just think that's the coolest thing. All right. Is this it here? Okay, pre-sale is on September 16th, which is tomorrow if you're listening to it on Monday, you know, if you listen to it at the right time. If you're not, it's probably already out. That's the pre-sale is 9/16, and it's on sale on 9/30. Full details, are at thirdmanrecords.com. I hope you guys like it. I've already given a couple copies to people, and they say it's awesome, but they're also friends of mine. So I imagine you cunts will be a little more honest. Dude, it fucking sucked. All right, back to the podcast. So this week, after the Ray Rice scandal, now you got Adrian Peterson. And I got to admit, I was absolutely shocked by that fucking story. I know that, you know, that's something that has gone on for a long fucking time. Parents beating their children like that. I just, for some reason, I just didn't think, you know, with all this Dr. Phil shit, all this pop psychology shit that's out there, how you could hit a kid with a switch that's 4 years old to the point that he's bruised and bleeding is just fucking beyond my comprehension. That's just fucking nuts. I think that really fucks, obviously, really fucks people up when you do shit like that to that level. Not saying I didn't get hit as a kid, but two things. One, it wasn't a switch, it was a paddle. And two, I fucking deserved it. I never felt, after getting hit with the paddle, that I never felt that it was wrong. What's the word I'm searching for? I never felt that I didn't do something to deserve it. I hated it because it hurt, but I never felt that it was like all I did was this and then you did that. The only time I ever felt it was fucking wrong was one time my brother said that I kicked my other brother in the face and it was bullshit. I kicked him in the stomach. I used to do a bit about that, and it was that which was considered working it out amongst yourselves. And, you know, the face was a no-no in my house. It was weird. You could punch in the side of the head. If you bruised within the hair, you know, the parents wouldn't see it, and you'd be all right. But if you hit in the face, then, you know, then you had a big problem. And, yeah, my mother was brushing her hair at the time. She turned around. She went to whack me over the head with a brush, and I ducked, and she caught me right between the shoulder blades. And the brush was like this hard plastic, and it kind of exploded. And then my mother picked up the brush part, the rubber part with the thing sticking out. And for, I think, another 10 years, she brushed her hair just holding onto that rather than the hole with the handle and all that. Like, that's how, I don't know, their parents grew up in the Depression, so they just had that instilled in them that, you know, if the brush breaks into a million pieces, you still salvage it. It still works. You just hold it this way, you know, which, hey, you know, maybe that's a smarter thing to do. I have no idea. But anyways, taking it to that level. So I actually was reading about that, and then that reminded me of the story. Now, this comes with a warning because you probably shouldn't watch this video, but it reminded me of a, which I thought was like 7, 8 years ago. Turns out it was 20 years ago. Remember that kid? It was like Michael Fay or something like that. Was that, he was a 19-year-old kid. He was over in Singapore, and he was accused of vandalizing some property or some shit. And the punishment, well, part of the punishment was he was going to get caned. And, you know, nobody over here had heard of it for the most part unless you'd traveled. And it was basically they hit you with this fucking stick. And you know, they hit you hard enough that after a couple of hits, like basically, like they said, pieces of flesh are coming off your fucking ass and the back of your legs and stuff. And everybody thought it was fucking horrific. He was supposed to get 6 hits and we were allowed to, we made enough of a stink that they went down to 4 hits. And so I looked that up, and then there was a link to a video that showed somebody getting caned. And I got to tell you, don't watch it. Don't watch it. I watched it. It's like a 4.5-minute video, dude. And I'm telling you, because what happened with that Michael Fay kid is like the day after or something, he was sitting down. So everybody's like, oh, that wasn't that bad. That kid is a tough kid. He's now like a 40-year-old man. But I got to tell you something. I watched this video. Dude, it's just, you go out there, right? Naked as a jaybird, whatever the fuck that means. And then they put you in this thing that's almost like, it's like what they, I don't know. It's, you're basically, I don't know, like if you had like a two-wheeled dolly. Remember how they wheeled Hannibal Lecter out? Imagine they wheeled him out except he was facing the other way. All right, but there's no wheels on this thing. And you walk and you stand on that thing. Then you hang onto these two fucking handles and two people on either side hold onto your arms. And then they put this thing over you where there's basically, I guess it's to protect your lower back and the back of your legs, you know, so they don't hit that part. And then just your ass is poking through this fucking hole. It's like a glory hole, except it's your ass. And then this fucking dude, Singaporean dude, Filipino dude, whatever you call him, he lines up ready to hit you. And he waits for some fucking guy off camera to be like, hoi! Right? And this fucking guy is just like in that classic Asian, like, martial arts. I can't even describe it. Crouching tiger, hidden dragon, like, I'm going to show the West what fucking torque is really capable of. I can't even do it. It looked like he was getting ready to do some dance. He was I'm acting it out right now. I'm standing up, right? Basically, you stand up. He's turned sideways like he's going to hit a fucking golf ball. Then he fucking bends his back leg. So his right leg, his front leg is straight. And his fucking arm is all the way up like this guy. And he's ready to just fucking, and the guy goes, hey! And this guy just goes fucking, wah-psh! And the dude, right? By the second one, and then they fucking wait like 30 seconds. He's just sitting there. And this fucking guy is standing there. He's supposed to hold the fucking, I almost said switch, the cane a different way. And he's standing there. And then some guy mumbles some shit. Right? And then the fucking guy goes back into that pre-stance. He looks like a fucking Marvel comic, like action hero, right? And then the guy goes, hey! And the fucking guy goes, wah! Hits him again. And the guy goes like, woo! Like by the second one, you sound like a puppy getting kicked. All right. And I swear to God, the camera, because I think they were trying to show how abusive it is, then zoomed in on this dude's ass. And he's got like fucking two lines. No, I think by the second hit, it was getting raw. And both of his butt cheeks were like fucking quivering. Like anticipation. Dude, this was like a 4.5 fucking, I lost count. I think they hit him like 5 fucking times. But literally by the 4th time, the guy started to like crumple. Dude, it was fucking brutal. I don't even know why I'm telling. I'm just saying, this is like classic internet thing. Like, I went on NFL.com. And then next thing you know, I'm watching somebody get caned in Singapore. And that's what's great about the internet is it breaks down boundaries. It brings people closer. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what the point of all of that was. Listen, I told you what happened. You can watch it if you want to watch it. I'm not putting the link up because I never watch shit like that. And I don't know why I did. It's just like one of those things because it didn't seem like it was going to be that bad. And you start going, dude, could I take that? Could I sit there? And for America not cry out, you know, you just got to get the first one in to understand the level. It's the scale. I would think that would be, after you got the first one, then that psychologically you'd be like, fuck, I got like three, this fucker. I'm going to tell you what the U.S. government did for that Michael Fay dude, that they got rid of the last two. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, the way I've described it now, there's no way you're not going to watch it, but I'm not putting the fucking link up, but Jesus. There's no, how many do you think he could take? Do you know the other kid that got arrested with him? I'm literally talking about a fucking news story from 20 years ago. The other kid was lined up for 12 of those hits, and they knocked his down to 10. Dude, you're fucking unconscious by 8. There's just no way. You're either unconscious or you can't even feel your ass anymore. Your ass. Fucking voice cracking. Yeah, dude, that's surprising that that is, I don't know, is it really surprising? With all the shit that's going on. That's why I don't watch the fucking news. I have no idea anything that's really going on. I have to get better at it, especially now that I'm building an hour. I got to start watching it. But, like, I've never been one of those people that could watch, like, execution videos and fucking all. Like, people who sit down and they watch those guys getting beheaded over there. I mean, that does something to you to sit down and watch that. I don't know. You know what's funny right now is, reason why I wish I didn't watch that video? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen if you watch that fucking video. That dude's quivering ass is going to be burned into your fucking brain for like 3 days. Because now that's just what I'm thinking, right? I'm trying to go on to the next subject. Do you understand this? And there's a man's quivering ass. It's in my... No disrespect to that guy. This guy took it like a fucking champ. Jesus fucking Christ. You know what's... if you saw the way this guy was swinging this cane, like, they go to school for it. Maximum fucking velocity, torque, whatever the fuck you're going to call it. All of that shit. It's like they must have measured it out. Jesus Christ. You know, you always hear about Singapore too, how fucking clean. I'm actually afraid to go over there. Because that's one of those things, like if you spit gum out on the street, you know, that's considered, that's a crime. The next thing you know, you're fucking bare ass, sitting there with a quivering ass, and some guy's going, hey, and whoop. Fuck that. Fuck that. Not saying they're bad people. I'm just saying I can't live up to those standards. I'm going to do something. Stub my toe and then curse in public. Hey. That's what I would do. I'd be fucking screaming like a bitch. My pasty, quivering ass. Isn't that what you wanted to think about on a Monday morning? Sorry. How's your Danish? Anyways, Jesus Christ. I bet that guy has fucking, that guy who got caned, or anybody who gets caned, anytime somebody old bends over to tie their shoes and they get a pain in their back and they go, they like their ass starts just fucking tenses up like they're going to get fucking hit. We got it, Bill. We got it. They hit people with wood in Singapore. There you go. You learned something. All right. Let's get on to something else here. As always, people, if you want to donate to the podcast, the best way to do it is to not have to give me any money. Well, dude, how do I do that? Simple. Next time you're going to buy something on Amazon.com, just go to BillBurr.com first, click on the podcast page, and then click on the Amazon link. It'll take you right to Amazon. Doesn't cost you any extra money, but if you come from my website, they kick me a few bucks. There you go. You kick me a few bucks, and then I throw it into the basement. Sorry. Anyways, continuing on, so I don't know if I mentioned this to you, you know, when we aren't at the house, you know, I can't bring my awesome dog with me everywhere I go. So, but I also didn't want to stick her in a little fucking kennel thing. But she gets freaked out if she's in the house by herself because somebody left her by a river. So she does not like to be alone, but, the dog trainers say, but if you put them in like a small sort of container, they don't feel overwhelmed by the space. They just curl up and go to sleep. Well, that's not my dog. My dog then tries to fucking break out of it. And it does. And then it's upstairs and it's sitting there wagging its tail. And, you know, it chipped a tooth or it's got a cut on its face and it fucking kills me. So what I did was I met this guy and he made these giant, what looked like a fucking lion's cage. And it was all this fucking rebar. So it was this bigger place where she could have her bed and a place for her food. You know, it's like a studio apartment. as opposed to a little case. So I fucking used to put her in that, and it was all good. She tried to get out of it a little bit, and then she realized that I couldn't. At least I thought that was the case. And she fucking broke up. She found the weakest bar because it wasn't attached on both sides. It was only attached just the way it was attached. I don't know how it figured it out, but it just used all of its body weight, and it made both welds fail. And then it took that bar and buried it under its bed and then squeezed itself. At some point, I used to do a bit on this thing too, another one. At some point, it did a pull-up it had to do a pull-up and then a dip and got out the top of the fucking cage. So it then took this cage that I spent $700 on and just rendered the whole fucking thing useless. So now I just take her everywhere I go. And because eventually I was going to have that thing welded back on. And I don't know what happened. I just started looking up for welders. I started looking at welding. I got into this shit. I think it's a cool skill to learn. So I'm going to take a 6-hour do-it-yourself fucking welding thing. And I'm going to fucking weld that thing back on myself. I'm going to give it a shot. I know what all you guys are thinking. Dude, you're going to burn your fucking house down. There's no fucking way. As dumb as I am, okay, give me a little credit. There's no fucking way I would weld anything near my house. Okay, I'll pay the guys down at the shop to let me do it at their shop under their supervision. Okay, before you call me a moron and before you predict all this fucking disaster. I'm not saying I'm not going to burn something down. It just won't be mine. All right, that's the deal. I think learning how to weld is a really fucking cool ass skill. It really is. And I'll show you a link to the best video of it that I found, unless I got rid of it. Please tell me I didn't get rid of it. This guy was awesome. He was totally clear. He had a fucking mustache. Oh, Jesus Christ. You motherfucker, Bill. You're the worst. You're just the fucking worst. I will find it. I will find it, and I'll give you the fucking link. And if I don't, just remind me. How's that? Does that work for you? Well, I don't give a shit. Oh, my God. 37 minutes in. I haven't even... Holy shit. We haven't done any advertising yet. All right. Let's get on with it here. All right. DraftKings, everybody. Dude, I called it. I said these guys were going to be huge. I said they were going to be huge. And they are huge. DraftKings. Fantasy football's back. And DraftKings.com isn't messing around. DraftKings.com is America's favorite one-week fantasy football site where you could win enormous cash prizes every week. You've already researched the players for your season-long fantasy team. Turn that knowledge into instant cash. Where? At DraftKings.com. Last year, one player turned $11 into $4,000 in only one weekend. Another won $100,000 his first time ever playing. Oh, Jesus! And another player won $1,000,000. In one day, just playing fantasy football. Are you seeing what's going on here? People are making money off of the information you already have. Keep your season-long league where it is, but also play one-week fantasy at DraftKings.com to win huge amounts of cash this weekend. Hurry, get free entry into the Millionaire Maker event where first place takes home $1,000,000. Head over to DraftKings.com now and enter the promo code DEFENSE. DEFENSE. To play free, to become a millionaire. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter defense for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com. Hitting you over the head with that website. All right, LegalZoom, everybody. When you're planning for your future and you do financial planning, when you're planning for your future, you do financial planning. You get insurance. But to get real peace of mind, you got to make sure your family and finances are legally protected. So where do you turn for legal help you can trust? Simple, LegalZoom.com. For over 13 years, they've been helping Americans get personalized wills, powers of attorney, and living trusts. LegalZoom also helps file LLCs, S corporations, and more to protect you against personal liability. The company was started by some of the best legal minds in the country, and they make it painless for you to get the legal protection that you need. If you have questions, you can always reach out to someone at LegalZoom, and they will talk you through the process. You can get legal help through an independent attorney and self-help services at your direction, but they are not a law firm. For special savings, be sure to enter my promo code BURR, B-U-R-R, in the referral box at checkout. Go to LegalZoom.com, promo code BURR, today to protect your business and take control of your family's future. All right. Stamps.com, everybody. The classic. Stamps.com, everyone. Computers are designed to make running a business easier, including your mailing and shipping. Just use Stamps.com to get 24-hour access to the post office right from your computer. No waiting in line. No hassles, man. Stamps.com makes mailing and shipping easy. Just use the computer and printer you already have to get official U.S. postage for any letter and package. Print the postage directly onto envelopes, labels, even plain paper. Then hand it to your mail carrier. That's it. No guesswork. Stamps.com will send you a digital scale that automatically calculates the exact postage you need for any class of mail. You will never have to go to the post office again. You know what? I use Stamps.com to send out all the crap that I sell at the end of my shows. And I'm a moron, and I can figure out that scale. So there's no excuse. Right now, use my last name, Burr, B-U-R-R, for this special offer, no-risk trial, plus $110 bonus offer that includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage, kid. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr, B-U-R-R, that's Stamps.com. Enter Burr. Jesus, I'm on such a fucking roll here. I almost don't want to stop reading these fuckers, but we're going to get back to the podcast here. Is it time for questions? I don't know here. Yeah, I think it's time for questions. You know what? Jay Lawhead is actually here. He's over my house right now. I think he's watching Seattle fucking Chargers. We're going to bring him in here to the podcast after these. Not a message. I just gave you messages. I'm going to bring him in here through the wonderful world of hitting pause. All right, we're back through the wonderful world, the magic of hitting the pause button. We're now here with Rose Bowl tailgate legend and gourmet chef of the outdoor backyard festivities of the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all, Jason Lawhead, everybody.
From
the Lawhead's court.
Some paint.
How's it looking in there?
It's good, man. San Diego's, they got their number. Seattle actually got a touchdown on literally the worst call in the history of the NFL.
These chairs are really squeaky, by the way.
Are.
Sorry.
But
what was the call?
You know, they review every touchdown. If you score a touchdown, they review it. Now they have a new system in New York City where they watch every single bit of film. Percy Harvin set out on like the 36th. They didn't even review it. They didn't review the score. They put it on the board, and then they go to Mike Perea afterwards and like, oh yeah, he stepped out of bounds. They should have. Like that's the automatic review.
So who got fucked, San Diego?
Yeah,
dude. Can I ask you a question? What did San Diego do?
I know, right?
Because I know Cleveland. You know, you guys go. Obviously, you've been through a bunch of shit. But there's something like. San Diego is always right there.
Like 7 Pro Bowlers every year.
And then somehow, like, there's always either a call or they shoot themselves in the foot. I remember one year they had us beat. They had us beat in a playoff game. They stopped us on fourth down to get the ball to end the game. They took an unnecessary roughness call, gave us a first down, and then we were able to kick a field goal to some bullshit. And I was just like, why would you do that?
And then there was like that 3 or 4 years ago when they had that fumble at Denver, when they reviewed it and they were like, yeah, it was a fumble. San Diego recovered, but we're giving it to Denver. I used to do a whole bit on it when I was living in San Diego about Norv Turner at a press conference, how I would have reacted. I mean, they literally, the ref went, yeah, San Diego recovered it, but there was a whistle blown, so we're giving it back to Denver. 2 plays later, Denver scores, kept San Diego out of the playoffs that year.
No, it's a special, I don't know, they did something down there that they're getting that level of karma. I don't know. We went to that game a long time ago, did not have a good time.
Did not.
Playoff
game against the Titans. And we've talked about this, I think, on the last podcast with the
Jesus
jersey coming off in the
Christ.
Fight. Yeah,
that Merriman jersey.
We gotta have the weather's starting to turn into that. We gotta have a preseason tailgate, you know, to get us ready for the Rose Bowl. I mean, we gotta have something.
You want to go to a USC game, by the way?
Oh, I'll go to USC.
I haven't been.
That's a good practice. We'll go to a USC game.
But can you tailgate down there?
Yeah, you can actually. There's it's not as convenient. I'll go to UCLA's higher ranked.
Really. Dude,
UCLA's
fucking BC
team.
Beat USC.
I know. USC's going to be out of the top 25. UCLA's 12th in the country. So we should go to UCLA game.
I know, but the Super Bowl 1 and 2 were played. It's fucking goddamn half-hour ride down the street. And it's just like I only went there one time. I saw them play USC play Washington Huskies in like 96. It's the last time I've been there.
Yeah, I went in 07, we went there. We had a 2-year contract with them, and they just waxed us. That's the year they won a national title.
Who's we? Ohio State?
Ohio State. We went there with Beanie Wells, but he didn't play first game
of
the season.
Beanie Wells
didn't play the first game of the season, and we got worked over. And it was the only loss we had all year. We went 12-1 that year. It was the second game of the season at USC. That's the only time I've ever been to the Coliseum.
All right. Well, I got to get
You can tailgate. There's good tailgates going on down there at the Coliseum. They got a lot of room down there by campus. It's fun.
I just get spoiled. UCLA.
I went and saw Andrew Luck there. I saw Andrew Luck there his senior year there. How did I not remember that? I went and even took a little video. I went down and did a little
nice
luck video. Like, what's the luckiest thing ever happened to you? I got to show that to you. Go to Lawhead's court YouTube page, and you can find that.
All right. Well, fresh off the highly successful All-In Tour, the first leg of it, we're hoping to put together a second leg of it. We got the questions for this week. Let's see what we got here. It says, what's new? Billy Bonanza. I live in Toronto and was able to see Black and White. It got me thinking, why don't you have a TV show? Surely the Hollywood system sees the value in your song and dance. Get off your lazy ass and come into my living room for 10 weeks out of the year. Love you and love Nia. How do you answer that?
See, he would have been smart if he would have wrote lazy ass like you say, lazy ass or ladies. That would have been a little bit of flavor he could have thrown in there.
Yeah, but there's no R in there.
Yeah, that's true. But ladies don't have an R. Lazy.
No, that's Jerry Lewis. That's who I'm doing.
I know you are, but ladies. You throw out different references of this. You stretch the words on different ones sometimes.
Oh, all right. Well, maybe he wrote it that way. It was my read. All I know is, look, you saw the movie Black and White. You know what I love? I love that I'm in a fucking movie and that's not enough for you. That wasn't enough for you? I got to have a fucking TV show too? And then what you do is you'll bitch that my comedy isn't as good because I'm going to be spending all my fucking time doing that shit, pretending to be a fucking police officer or whatever the hell thing I would have. Now, listen, I got to tell you something. I do have some shit in the works, but, sometimes it's a blessing to not have a TV show. It's a blessing to, in this business, go on other people's shows because they deal with all the responsibilities, the writing, the conference calls, all of that shit is, would I have time to learn how to weld? Ask yourself this. Would I have time to learn how to weld if I had my own TV show? I can tell you right now, the answer is no. And a lot of you cunts out there would be like, yeah, but you'd have the fucking money to tell somebody else to do it. Well, you know what? I don't live my life that way. I don't. I'd like to learn how to do it.
Yeah, would we be like three Academy Award winners in this movie?
Yeah, what am
why
I doing?
Why would you go do TV?
Movies are great. It's we have you from this date to this date, and then it's done.
Right.
Those other people, those people on one-hour dramas are shooting a movie that never ends.
Right.
And
it's a constant critic. You're a constant critic. Like, you get the one-time critic. If it's a good movie, it's a bad movie, it's indifferent, whatever, that criticism comes in that one stretch. The TV show is constant criticism week after week.
How hard they – I don't want to work that hard.
Yeah.
I did an episode of New Girl. I had a great fucking time, but it was 14-hour days, and they had been – I did it in February. It's a half-hour show. They were doing 14-hour days, and they had been going since August. It's just like – I thought I worked hard, and then I did an episode of that show. It's like, dude, I am a bum, and I love it.
Now, is Breaking Bad coming back for sure, they say?
Better Call Saul is coming back.
Okay.
Yeah. It's coming back.
You got any word on that? You doing any of those?
I have no idea. I mean, if I did, I couldn't say that I was, but to be honest with you, I haven't heard anything, no. I haven't heard anything, okay? It's over. all right. Silverman Props. Good day, sir. Good day, good sir. Sorry. I saw your name in the end credits / thank you of Sarah Silverman's latest comedy special and was curious if you had anything special to do with the show. Love your comedy and hope it never ends. Very good. This guy from Germany. Lars.
Germany.
Once I noticed your name in the end of the credits...
You know those German guys, they read all the way through just in case there's any, like,
that's why they can
messages.
Make a station wagon that goes 0-60 in fucking 3.5 seconds.
Any hidden messages in there they're looking for?
That opening bit that she did where she threw the ball against the wall. I was down the Comedy Store like a week before she did her stand-up special, and she was throwing a tennis ball against the wall or whatever, and somehow we talked to her special. I was like, that could be cool if you're just sitting there throwing the ball against the wall, blah, blah. Maybe that's why she did it. Maybe she just thinks I'm a swell guy. I have no idea. I should have waited till she told that
probably
story.
Probably for the search engine optimization. That's probably yeah.
What is that?
No, you like when you tag like things like Bill Burr, anything popular. If you like to put anything on, we're like Bill Burr, comma, you know, the All In tour. So when people are searching things like Bill Burr, her thing might come.
Oh,
is it just
okay.
That? It
was like, ah, you kids, with the fucking internet.
SEO, they call it, search engine optimization.
All right, morbid obesity. Dear badass Billy Burr, I guess I'm supposed to give you a nickname. Yeah, we're running out here, people. You guys don't have to do that. All right. My brother's been dating a morbidly obese girl for 2 years now. My parents are disgusted by this. Oh, Jesus. This is brutal. This is brutal already. My mother actually cried when she first met her. Jesus Christ, dude. And I get shit for fat shaming? Look at her! She can't even fit in the house! I thought I raised you better. Oh, yeah. Sit on that and break that. Holy shit, dude. That's fucking brutal. More importantly, her health is clearly in great danger. At her weight, it's likely she doesn't get to 40. My brother's 120 pounds. She's at least twice his weight. I'd even say near 300 pounds. What's a good way to convey the fact that if no one steps in with the harsh reality, she's going to have a short life? Also, she routinely stumbles out of a Cheesecake Factory. Oh, Jesus Christ, dude. That's fucking brutal. Well, first of all, I feel bad for her. I hope she loses the weight. Because I get shit on this podcast, Jay, because I make fun of fat people the way I make fun of a lot of shit.
Everything.
And everybody thinks that, like, you know, they don't think that, but they say that. I've been joking saying fat shaming works because I do it to myself and all of that type of crap.
Look at me, but, right? Yeah. I fat shamed myself at the beginning of the year because I saw a picture of us at the Rose Bowl. And I was like,
yeah, you just go, look at my fucking head.
I mean,
head.
I don't
look
know why.
Neck.
I just don't get how more people don't shame themselves into shaming themselves into getting
lighter.
Well,
dude, you at one point were pushing 200 pounds.
Yeah.
And you went to the doctor and the guy said that 30 pounds overweight.
Yeah, he
is
was like,
obese.
Technically, I could write you into. Or obese. That's why I was living in San Diego, and I was just like, still had a real job and was doing comedy coming up. And, you know, I had health insurance. So he was like, listen, I with the job, and he's like, I could technically, with your height, with your weight, you could be obese, but I'm not going to write that in because it could affect your insurance, you know.
Yeah.
Right? So he goes, just get off. What do you do? And that's when I was drinking a lot of soda.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, tons of it.
Right.
And that's what, if there's people out there, I'm telling you, drop that. If you know what? You know why she's waddling out of a Cheesecake Factory? Because she had three freaking sodas on top of whatever else she had, I bet. And the diet's the worst. He said, my doctor looked at me and said, the word diet is the biggest travesty that the Food and Drug Administration allows because it doesn't mean anything. Anything's a diet. If you eat a cow, that's your diet.
Right.
I mean, a Diet Coke just doesn't mean that it's any better for you. It ain't going to make you lose weight. It's
going
to make you gain weight. So that's the one thing.
So you cut out soda or pop, as you guys call it.
Pop. I got off pop. I was drinking he was like, geez, how many are you drinking? I was like, I was on a diet Dr. Peppers, man. I was knocking back like 3-4 a day. And then when I would go golfing, I would knock down, you know, 6 per 9. I'd have like, you know, a plastic cup. I'd go through 6, 7, 8, 10 diet Dr. Peppers on a golf course.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I thought I was refreshing myself, you know, and it's diet and it tastes good. I love that Dr. Peppers. I was like, okay, it's diet. And then when I quit that March 1st, 2010, I've only had like ginger ale and club soda. I've never had like the high fructose and the colas and any of that sugary shit. It's been
And you took it all off, and then what happened?
I just put a bunch on, over the fall because I was just enjoying it. You know what I mean? Like we were cooking a lot. The holidays, I had that holiday party, the Rose Bowl. I mean, my birthday's on October 30th,
right?
So once my birthday hits, this will be the first time. This
Halloween candy the next day.
Dude, Halloween candy, and it doesn't stop. It goes right into Thanksgiving, and then before I know it, I'm a week after New Year's, and I'm 30 pounds heavier than I was in the summer.
I love that you acknowledge Halloween candy like you're still trick-or-treating.
Oh, I mean, my whole childhood, I was born the day before Halloween. It was just a weekend apart. And then when I turned old enough to drink, this will be because I quit the drinking this year for an experiment. This will be, I'm going to turn 42 in October 30th.
Right.
And this will be the first time I have not had alcohol on my birthday since I was 19. And I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it this year. I'm going to live. I'm going to walk through the day of my birthday and go, wow, basically 23 years of straight partying, because it's always been a party. It's been like, DeLon's birthday and it's Halloween. We can mix them together. There's been day I don't even know.
I was amazed, though.
I don't even remember most of my birthdays in the 20s. My friends, dude, we were just, it was a Halloween week. I was dressed up, just fucking just plowed. Oh, Jesus Christ. I mean.
Well, you know what amazed me was you were on the wagon from Rose Bowl right up till we did the Vegas thing.
That was a deal I made, though.
Yeah, but you were like, I'm drinking this weekend, and then I'm going right back to being on the wagon, which is what I said, and you were able to do it. I haven't.
Yeah,
I haven't been able to do it. I just
But you had a nice, like, but you had that part of the year for you was like, you just finished the special. You know, you knew you were coming with Black and White was coming out. You had a lot of, there was a lot of reasons for you just not to, you've been good for, I mean, since you started that quit 1 year, a couple years ago, you've been able to go and get nice little stretches in. I haven't been able to.
I'm a very streaky player.
Let me tell you something. The longest I've gone without drinking on this last run was, I think I had just had a real bad flu for like 8 or 9 days that I didn't drink. And then this has been the longest of my life. I mean, this has been since I was a teenager.
Yeah, you've drank like basically 3 days this whole year.
Four days,
right?
Yeah, 3 days. 3 days this whole year.
So, that's awesome, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. I wish
And I'm not going to have another drink, I think, until the Rose Bowl. I think that's
fucking Miller High Lifes. I just have like one a day.
Yeah. But that's not, you know.
But you know what it is? It's right after you have it, right? Right after you have that first one. Yeah. But the thing is, if you just wait 5 minutes, if you just drink a water, if you force yourself to just grab a water or whatever, your body like stops craving it and you level out and you actually just had that one and you're able to do it. But the thing is with food and all of that shit, for the longest time, I was like, it's not a drug. It's not a drug. It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's like whatever you just ate, you want fucking – if it's bad for you.
Yep.
That's how you know it's bad for you, because you just ate it. Now you want more, which doesn't make any sense. Because if you eat a salad, you never think like, oh, dude, I want another salad. You don't. But later on, if you're hungry, you're thinking
food.
Salad, vegetables, but you're not thinking like shit food. But like if you eat – I've just found if I eat an apple or whatever, I don't crave another apple. If I eat a handful of chips – cookies, alcohol, soda,
sugar.
Any of that shit that's bad, salt or sugar, you just like, you fuck, it's like you're fiending for it.
Sugar. I mean, that's why people are fat. They can't get off the sugar. And when you can get off the sugar and you can take it out and the only sugar you get is the naturals, like the fruits and the vegetable sugars, the natural sugars, your body isn't looking at food like, oh my God, I want that. Your body tells you when it wants food.
So then what does he tell this?
He tells her to get off the sugar, and it's going to take a month.
And
it's
salt,
gonna be
and salt.
Salt, but definitely sugar first. Get off the sugar, because sugar, you have to match it. If you drink colas and if you eat lots of bread and pastas, that's tons of sugar in there. And your body has to match that. It wants more sugar. So if you drink a bunch of Coke, then it wants the sugar food.
All right, so when this woman walks in, if you were in the house and you got a yellow, like, oh my God, she's even fatter. They're going to be in the background going, hey, get off the sugar.
Yeah, get off. I will get in her face and be like, get off the sugar. Wipe it out of your
thing. Turn your hat around backwards.
Put the whistle in my mouth. Listen.
Kick dirt over her cake.
Ah, that's hilarious.
What the fuck are you looking at out there?
That's fucking
great. It's been all day with this shit.
That's hilarious. No, I mean, that's the thing.
You came in here for one reason. And what was that? To eat all of our cake. That's an Earl Weaver reference. You came in here to fuck us.
Fuck us good. And you got your chance again tomorrow.
No, I didn't, Earl. No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. You'll get your chance again tomorrow.
I love when he says that umpire was so great. Like, what are you going to do, Earl? Lose another World Series?
I've won more than I've lost. Not World Series. It's games. He goes, games.
Yeah. All right, where are we going? Video. Bill, this is video isn't mine, but I came across it on YouTube. I actually watched some. It's the evolution of Walter White. Somebody did like this great like 15-minute video where they go from the very first episode and they just take like the key scenes. I watched like a minute and a half of it before I was just getting chills. I'm like, all right, I got – one of the reasons why it's one of the great shows of all time. All right, two girls. Dear Bill, I'm just some kid in high school who doesn't know Jack – all about dating, but a week ago I learned that a chick I knew but didn't like had put me on her phone as a wallpaper. This apparently has been going on for a year, and I just learned about it from one of her friends. I knew this chick liked me, but I couldn't stand her. Oh, this is weird. He said, I tried letting her down. I tried being a dick to her. Just to, why can't you just be honest? You know what? Because you're young. Just be like, listen, I know you really like me, but I'm not feeling that way about you. You say, What's up, bitch? she just keeps acting like I am still all hers. Yeah, that would get annoying. I knew she was into me while I was still a freshman, but it was near summer, so I thought she would just forget all about it. And if that wasn't enough, her friends that told me this tried hitting on me when she told me. What? As if this wasn't enough. Her friend told me this tried hitting on me. You guys got to proofread this shit.
Let me tell you something. If you're in high school, you're not going to make it to college.
All right, hang on. Just keep talking, like, as I try to dissect
this. I mean, this guy, whatever, he's butchering it. Is this a guy that's talking about a girl with his phone? Be glad. Listen. Be happy. Dude, listen. Be glad.
Oh, I got it. I got it. Yeah, there's no comma. As if this wasn't enough, her friend that told me this tried hitting on me when she told me. Oh, okay. Yeah, see, there was no punctuation in there. Okay, so now the girl that tells you that this girl's obsessed with you then hits on you. Okay, first of all, I just learned some psycho had me on her wallpaper for a year, and I didn't know. So the last thing I wanted to think about is dating. Second, what a bitch move on her friend's part, hitting on a guy. This guy's definitely the glass is half full, huh? What the fuck? You got two women here.
I know, dude. And it's
And
it's like, get used to it.
Hitting on a guy her friend has been stalking. Bill, I'm ready to tell them to both go fuck themselves, but what is your opinion on this? You ignore the first girl, you bang the second one, and then you get on with your life. What do you think, Jay?
I think you play them into each other. I mean, I think that if these girls are friends together and the other girl's hitting on you, right? I think you.
Oh, you're going for the three-way.
Oh yeah, man. I'm going for the three-way early. I'm going to the whole get together. Let's do this as like a group and hang out.
You're going onside kick.
Play a little dumb on
the start the game.
Play a little dumb on the whole. I don't know really everything about the phone, and I'm not the girl with the phone. I'm not going to give up the fact that this other one was kind of hitting on me. I'm going to let this all come together and see where it goes.
The Mad Hatter. He's eating grass.
Yeah, because you know why? They're the ones. They're bringing it to you. They're serving it to you on a platter. I mean, they're literally, you're the reason why this whole thing is developing. So let these two kind of, you know, just sit back, relax.
All right. So email Lawhead's Court. He'll tell you how to bring him in. It's going to be instrument landing here.
Tricks up my sleeve.
All right. Fat shaming goth daughter. Billy Burrito. What's a good way to fat shame a sense? Why am I becoming the fat shame person?
No, right? You're like fucking.
Yeah, I don't want to make people feel bad about being fat. I mean, I'm joking around about this shit. I want people to be in shape, so don't fucking hang this thing around me. I'm not going to read. That's two in 1 week. That'll be bad. The next thing you know, I got some group.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's jokes, but it sets a precedence.
Just a bunch of people, you know, protesting in front of your.
They're not gonna because like. That's another good reason not to have a fucking
scooters.
TV show.
You just got people in scooters driving around with
no, but if you had a fucking TV show, then they actually give a shit about you.
They can't fire you from stand-up.
Or my podcast. They can't. They could take away the advertiser, but I'd still do it. I don't give a fuck. Advice on friends. Hey, Bill, I'm a junior in high school, and I've got one group of really good friends, like 8 or 9 people. We are like the funny guys of our school, always giving each other shit. Well, there's one friend, and he was an asshole for an entire summer to my other friends, who was a girl that he liked a lot. There you go. That's American public schools right there. Jay, talk again. Tell these people the story.
I mean, it's unbelievable. It's just
there's one friend.
You know, read a book. I mean, all these autocorrects and grammar checks on computer. I mean, how do you not get out the right email that you want with every bit of technology that we have? I'm stunned.
Okay, I got it. I figured it out. Thank you. Okay, so there's one friend, and he was an asshole for an entire summer to my other friend, who was a girl that he liked a lot. So this guy is friends with this girl, and this other guy liked her a lot, and he was being an asshole to her. Okay. He started treating her like shit when she told him she didn't like him, and while things were heated all summer. And it was weird. I was letting the girl know that he was saying what? I was letting the girl know what he was saying and due to her. And now they are. Jay, talk again. Just talk to the people here. I was
I don't even know what he started out by saying. I got nine buddies that are like the funny guys of the group. I was more interested in that. Like, I thought he was going to go somewhere with like, hey, we're doing the, like, I don't even know. I mean, he's whittled it down to three people.
What he was saying was, this kid went over, he ratted out the girl. He's saying this and that to the other thing. He said, now this asshole guy and this girl who's a friend are like buddy-buddy again because the other guy said that the dude writing this letter was lying and none of it was true. Which, of course, she's going to believe the other guy because she likes him. This guy's going to reel her right in. Oh, no, she doesn't. He likes her. Wow, that's weird. So why the fuck would she believe that? He basically got everyone against me, and I don't know what to do. This guy's a psycho, manipulating everyone. He acts like he doesn't say anything, and he acts overtly nice to me when he's around me. Yeah, this guy's a psycho. And it pisses me off. He won't tell the truth to anyone. So my question is, should I even try to fight back against this and try to win back my few close friends, or should I just tell them to go fuck themselves and try to make new friends? So you got ostracized by everybody? Look, who gives a fuck at this point? If she doesn't believe you, then fuck her. Let this guy do whatever the hell he wants to do with her.
It's going to come back. Listen, walk away. Take the high road. Walk away like that gunfighter in the West walking away by himself. And this guy, the other guy, will end up doing this to other people. And
he'll
do it
to her.
He'll do it to her or the other guys. You were right. He'll be like, dude, you know, whatever this guy's name is, Johnny is, you know, man, he's the real deal. And you know what? You don't need people like that in your life. Do that early. Get used to that early. Getting those kind of people. No, it is, dude. I'm telling you. Learn how to cut the weeds early, man. I tell you what, because as you get older, you don't want to get into those habits, man. It's just like, it's like abused women, man. They get into a habit, and I'm not comparing it to a little bit, but, you know, you don't want to get into that habit of being walked on and treated that way and just including yourself in a group of friends because you're I don't know what else to do.
How will I get new friends? That's actually...
Yeah, dude. No. And...
You got to cut the weeds.
You do.
Dude, I did. It took me to 40 to realize that. And
I'm just learning.
Last 5-6 years, I cut out all the negative people in my life. And the level of drama that just, it was like a vacuum. It just got sucked right out of the room. And recently, I was just doing some gig. And I ended up just getting in like this social circle of just 3 or 4 people that were used to be like the kinds of people I used to fucking hang out with. And I immediately sensed like negative energy, which I had never felt before because I was so used to it.
Right.
I was like, I was one of those guys my whole fucking life. I was just like, you know, when I fucking get out of this house, I'm going to do blah, blah. And then you go out in the world and because that's all you know. You just recreate that whole fucking thing over again. That's totally what I did. It took me like 20 years to cut all of that shit out. And there's also that thing. I'm very forgiving of psychos. I am a psycho, but I'm very forgiving of it. But
I'm a temperamental maniac for so many years in my 20s and early 30s, you know?
The key is to be self-sufficient and just become a complete fucking loner.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
It is.
You go out like that fucking, the hearse guy there. Look at the house he had.
Yeah, exactly. But that's true, though. You go out like a gunfighter, man, and you just walk like, you know, Shane, man. You just go out and ride out on these people.
It's fucking hilarious.
Right out on.
I got to read a couple of. I got to read a couple more advertising things, and I want to hear your opinions on the first 2 weeks of 2.5 weeks because we're still in the middle of football Sunday here. Oh, by the way, we got to talk about your fucking
big
brand,
day for Browns. Me. I'm jacked up, man. I think we might have a football team on our hands finally.
All right, Dollar Shave Club, everybody. Ever wonder why razors are so expensive? Big shave companies are charging you for ridiculous shave technologies that you don't even need. First vibrating handles, then flashlights, now pivot ball flex heads. It's all crap. What are they going to put, an MP3 player in there? They write jokes for me here. Enough is enough. Join the DollarShaveClub.com revolution for just a few bucks a month. DollarShaveClub.com delivers the world's best razors right to your door. Now, DollarShaveClub.com's blades are better than the big shave companies for a fraction of the price. It's so easy. Go to DollarShaveClub.com, pick one of their razors. They just start for $3 a month. You don't have to break the bank. You don't have to resort to cheap disposable razors to save cash. DollarShaveClub.com is amazing. Every month they ship you automatic deliveries. You'll never have to go to the goddamn pharmacy again or drugstore, whatever the hell you call it, and stand in line behind the old people trying to get ice cream and get their photos developed. All right? You can just have the shit delivered right to your house. You don't have to squeeze shaves in it on a dry, dull, dirty old razor. You get to shave with a fresh blade every week. This is absolutely mandatory for anybody that wants to get a great shave. You deserve better than a dull old blade. For the love of God, treat yourself. No more ridiculous shave technology. Make a smarter choice like millions of people have. Join DollarShaveClub.com/Burr. That's DollarShaveClub.com/Burr. All right. E-voice, everyone. I love the flexibility that owning your own business provides. Well, that would help if I owned a business. Why do they do this to me? I know eVoice knows what they're doing. Listen, you'll love the flexibility of owning your own business. Who wouldn't? Who wants to work for some dick? Look at me. I've created an empire with this show. Oh, I see. They're breaking my balls here. But when it comes to handling business calls, you're stuck with the challenge. Either hire a full-time recipient or handle all of your calls yourself. It's a lose-lose situation. That's why eVoice is the shit. All right, they will set up your business with a toll-free number or a local number. When a customer calls, they are greeted by a professionally by a virtual receptionist that will route all of your calls to wherever you are. There's even a dial-by-name directory. You'll sound like a Fortune 500 company, and more importantly, you'll never miss an important call. All of this for how much? $13 a month. Right now, for a limited time, my listeners can try eVoice for free for 60 days. Seriously, my listeners get an extended 60-day trial to test drive this amazing business tool. That's right, 60 days just for our listeners. Go to eVoice.com/Bill now to sign up. Set up your eVoice 60-day free trial right now at eVoice.com/Bill. That's eVoice.com/Bill. And mercifully, I have one more read. I'm sorry, guys. This is even worse than usual. All right, I'm reading for Prosper, everyone. Prosper, in 72 hours, you could have $35,000 to cover your needs. What will you do? Pay off high credit card rates. Start a business. Do that home improvement project. That's what I'm going to do. Throw it into the downstairs. With our sponsor Prosper, it's never been easier. Go online, answer a few questions, and see your low fixed rate in seconds. Your money hits your account in as little as 3 days. Prosper's the fastest growing peer-to-peer lender group, and they facilitated over $1 million of loans to people like you. They should know better than to use that word in copy that I'm going to read. Their revolutionary platform connects people looking to borrow money with those who have money to invest. There's no outrageous fees, no raising interest rates, and you'll never have to set foot in a bank. Just go to prosper.com/burr to check your rate instantly without affecting your credit score. For a limited time, Prosper is offering my listeners a $50 Visa prepaid card when you get a loan. Go to prosper.com/burr. Up to $35,000 in just 3 days and a $50 gift card. Go to prosper.com/burr. Mandatory disclaimer. Other restrictions apply. See the site for details. Gift card is issued by Center State Bank of Florida. Pursuant to license from VisaUSA.com, all personal loans are made by WebBank, a Utah Chartered Industrial Bank member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Wow, dude. To answer that one guy's first question on
Jesus
the fan mail, dude.
Christ.
To answer that one guy's first question on the fan mail about why don't you do TV, we know why he doesn't do commercials.
Yeah. Isn't that the fucking truth?
That's a lot to read there.
Yeah, that's some heavy duty.
I like that. The Dollar Shave Club, though. That's a good. Even though I have a beard, and I grew that because I literally grew my beard 4 years ago because of the prices of razors. I mean, I'm like, you know, you got to go. There's two things that they lock up in the store. Did you know that? Liquor and razors. I mean, you got to go get a guy with a key.
Yeah,
it's your razor. That's how
and it's always been. It's always been a complete ripoff. I've never understood it. And you know what's funny?
Are they drilling for these things? Are they offshore drill for razors? I mean, the price of razors for what you get is. When I grew this beard, it was because. Okay, man, I'm not.
Do you remember that late night? They actually had that sharpener that you could stick your razor in, which that thing came and went in 2 seconds. I bet the big razor companies, it bombed or they just bought it out.
Yep.
They bought it out, or the creator of it was in a diner and was just like all of a sudden they poisoned me and fucking ran out and died in the parking lot.
Yeah, well, they probably just bought the patent to it and then just kept it. A lot of people buy patents and then just hide them from everybody, so they can't compete with them.
I don't know. Hey, let's talk Browns before we get the fuck out of here. Get back up. Oh, Jesus, that dog pound horse shit. Sorry.
No.
Grown men.
I never liked it from the start, but we actually have a dog now. The first time we have a dog.
That's mascot, cool.
Like a real dog.
We have Mastiff. I like that.
Named Swagger.
Oh, good deal.
Yeah, we got a brown bull mastiff named Swagger. It's his first year as the, like, so he kind of sits on the sidelines and just kind of licks himself. I said, Jesus Christ. I said, when I first got him, I'm like, this dog, you know, I don't know if this is a good timing with the way this thing's gonna run out in front of a car after week three, probably just fucking throw himself in traffic on the
but you guys won. What happened?
We won, man. So, you know, we tried to give it away to New Orleans. We had a great first half, and then, we just, when you came in and started doing a podcast, we went like...
Heard you yell, yeah!
87 yards. Well, we didn't go all 87 yards, but we started, I think, on the 13 with about 2.5 minutes to go. And Hoyer took us down the field. And we had a great catch on the side. Miles Austin had a great catch on the sidelines at about the 39 to keep the drive going. And then we, a big defensive breakdown. We hit a receiver down the middle to the 10 with 4 seconds to go, and Cundiff hit the game-winning field goal. 26-24 Browns over the Saints, who a lot of people think the Saints are going to be in that fucking Final Four mix. 1-1, and we should have beat Pittsburgh. We lost to Pittsburgh.
Don't the Saints have a horrific defense or something?
Well, it looked bad last week against Atlanta, and it didn't look great against us today. Well, Rex Ryan, or not Rex Ryan, the fat one, the one that needs to get off the sugar, the Ryan.
Is he fat?
I don't know. The ugly Ryan.
The one with the hat. The hair.
Yeah.
They look the same, don't they?
No. Well, Rex went on that lap band. What's the guy's name? Rob? Rob has one of those, like, just disgusting stomachs that, you know what I mean? Like, he's got, like, the skinny legs, the regular, like, neck and arms. And then he's just got one of those man pregnant bellies. It's disgusting. Oh, it's disgusting.
Well, you're 1-1. I'm going to hear. Can I hear something positive from a Cleveland Browns fan?
I like it. I think we got a good coach on our hands. I said, even after the first loss, and I'm watching a little bit of this, I just tweeted out. I go, I think we actually have a well-coached football team on our hands, which we just haven't had. We just haven't had a coach
right
since we've come back as the Browns. We haven't had a coach since Belichick. And now those are the guys that are right. The last time we won a playoff game as the Cleveland Browns, who are now the Baltimore Ravens, but as the Browns.
Yeah, you beat us.
We beat the Bill Parcells Patriots in a wild card game at Cleveland with Bill Belichick as our head coach.
Student 94. Became the master.
Yep, 20 years ago. That's 20 seasons ago.
All right. Well, I'm a closet Cleveland Browns fan, so I hope you guys have a great season.
Here we go, Browns.
I'm psyched the Patriots won, and I got nervous after that first drive. But, you know, Adrian Peterson wasn't there, so. But. I don't know. We did do some things. But I don't know. When I saw Seattle on that first game and I then watched the 49ers, I'm just like, it's just so clear that the NFC, you know, if everybody stays healthy, that the Super Bowl is going to be out that way again.
It looks like those two teams hadn't stopped playing from last year. I said after week one, I'm like, they look like they're 8 weeks in.
Dude, Pete Carroll's amazing. I've never been more wrong about that guy. I was like, that guy, he just has like that nice guy look about him when he coached the Patriots. I was just like, this guy doesn't have it. And then even when he did well USC, I was just like, well, you know, he's not a fucking NFL coach. It's someone who never coached football. I'm sitting there saying this guy is not an NFL coach, and he won like 2 or 3 championships.
Well, the crazy thing is now the NFL, that was always the hit. You couldn't be a college coach. The college coach, other than Jimmy Johnson, the college coach never came in and did anything in the NFL. None of them. Nick Saban, Lou Holtz, none of them.
Barry Switzer.
Barry Switzer.
That was Jimmy's team.
But none of them could do that. But the trend has changed because football has changed. The quarterback in football has changed to a college-style quarterback. So now you got Pete Carroll, ultra successful. Jim Harbaugh, ultra successful. You got Chip Kelly now at the Eagles, turning that thing around real quick. So you're going to see more.
They're turning around the culture in the locker room.
Yeah, the college coaches are successful now in the NFL. And you know what? More.
So do they give Johnny Manziel a chance?
No, not the way Hoyer looks, man.
Has he screwed the pooch on the side of the fucking field there?
Yeah, you know, listen, Brian Hoyer looks great, and he knows the playbook, and the team is playing for him. And
you tried to suggest that Johnny was not learning the playbook.
He isn't.
Where did you hear that?
We heard that in some articles that came out of training camp, why he was shooting himself in the foot, because they were giving him chances to win this job. Even though Hoyer was the number one guy, Patine was a new coach, and he was giving him a chance to win his job. And some of the articles coming out of Cleveland.com, it was saying that he was not grasping the playbook. I think that means he's not learning the playbook. Or, you know, he's a...
I'll tell you, this kid has had every opportunity in the world, but if you're not going to sit down and learn your X's and O's, I mean, the team's not going to get behind you. And if that doesn't happen, it is very difficult to win in this league.
Look, Mike, these guys, okay, they will hurt you
in the painted area.
they are terrific in punt coverage, and they are excellent creativity on fourth and long.
That's like Hubie Brown doing football, by the way.
There's not one woman left that listens to this podcast anymore. This is just sausage fest. I don't think I've ever had a female guest, have I? I don't think I ever had.
Your wife.
No, I mean like a fucking outside of somebody I live with. Have I ever had a female comic on here? Hmm. I guess I haven't. Uh-oh. Am I sexist? All right. This is it, everybody. This is the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Congratulations to everybody's team won this week. You know, it's only week 2. Don't get too down on your team if they lost. That's it. Go fuck yourselves. And I'll talk to you next week.